Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. This is how Jesus Christ came to be born. His mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they came to live together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a man of honour, and wanting to spare her publicity, decided to divorce her informally. He'd made up his mind to do this when the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, for she is conceived what is in her by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you must name him Jesus, because he is the one who is to save his people from their sins." Now all this took place to fulfill the word spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, a name which means God is with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had told him to do. He took his wife to his home. And this is the gospel of the Lord. I'd like to begin with a quotation. It's the very beginning of The Great Gatsby by Scott Fitzgerald. The narrator begins by saying, "In my younger and more vulnerable years, my father gave me some advice that I've been turning over my mind ever since. Whenever you feel like criticizing anyone," he told me, "just remember that all the people in this world haven't had the advantages that you have had." At this point, I apologize for reading a great American classic, but not reading it in an American accent. The strange way the book starts, you really wouldn't guess what the book is about from those first few words. And it also sounds like a rather banal piece of wisdom. "Remember that all the people in the world haven't had the advantages that you've had." But then, banal pieces of wisdom can be very useful and practical pieces of wisdom. And in fact, it does explain about the nature of the book. Because the book's about forgiveness, the narrator in the end forgives the name, the Great Gatsby, the man whose the book is named after, for his failings. And he forgives because Gatsby didn't have the advantages that he had had. Turn that round, though, when we talk about Jesus the Christ. All through the 2,000 years of theology, there's a constant vogue to emphasize how much Christ lost, how much he suffered, how much was taken away from him. No one endured such pain, such neglect, such abandonment as he did. That's true. It's true of Gethsemane, it's true of his death. It's true of the meaning of the rejection of Christ. But it's also true that Christ has certain advantages that other people don't have. It might sound faintly blasphemous to say Christ had advantages. But like the narrator of The Great Gatsby, Christ is, well, put it bluntly, a good person. Not just morally good, good as a person should be. The perfect human being. And the perfect human being couldn't be perfect on his own. Not even the Christ. Because it's the nature of goodness to be a good human being that you've received a lot of that goodness from other people. And most of all, at the very beginning of our life, Jesus was born in love. He was beloved by his parents. And that's significant, because if we think that anybody can be good any time, irrespective of the circumstances of their life, especially those first moments, especially the very beginning, then we're going to turn ourselves into somebody very judgmental indeed. And the fact is, some people are born deprived. I've seen this in children's homes. Children who've been born, or who have very early in their life have discovered that they're not loved. They've been rejected by their parents. Often the parents simply don't have the capacity to care for them. The children don't always understand that. But Christ Jesus was born in love, someone who was beloved. And the Gospels really couldn't make this clearer. We have two Gospels which both speak of the love of Christ's parents. and from two perspectives. Luke from the perspective of Mary, Matthew from the perspective of Joseph. How they came to love Christ, how he was born in their love. I said once in an article, I was surprised that no one remonstrated with me or objected, or equally said that much they agreed, but I said that though love is circular, you need to love and be loved. That circle has different entry points. And generally speaking, only generally, not always, the man enters the circle of love from a different point of view from the woman. It's the same circle. But loving and being loved go together. Perfect love is always loving and being loved. And the man enters through the choice to love. But in wisdom, as a human being, a man will always seek to love someone who loves him. A woman, I think, in general, seeks to be loved. But not by anyone, just anyone. They wish to be loved by someone they love. And so the circle continues. To be loved generates love. To love makes someone beloved. It's a circle, different entry points. I think when we compare the Gospel of Matthew, which we hear today, and the Gospel of Luke, you can see something of that, that they enter into the love of Christ, of each other, of God, in different ways. Mary receives love. Rejoice, most highly favoured one. And out of her being loved, Christ is born. Of course, she had always loved God. She was without sin, but her own love is aroused, is awakened. Joseph, on the other hand, is portrayed as someone who has to choose to love. With him, the entry point of the drama, no matter what sort of love he had for Mary, the entry point is actually choosing to love her. It's very significant that Joseph is described as not simply accepting the child, it's actually described as taking his wife to his home. He chooses to love. Mary responds to being loved. And both are equal. It's not in any sense less admirable to respond to being loved than to choose to love, because the circle is continual. We must enter the circle. And in entering the circle, being loved will generate love. Love will make the person beloved. Might ask how that fits with love of God. Well, love of God itself begins with God's love. Certainly God chooses to love. Chooses to love us before we even exist. And love us in our sin. But then, God still wishes to receive love. Not as a need, but as the completion of his love. That's why he sends the Holy Spirit. As Paul says in the second reading today, it is about Jesus Christ our Lord in the order of the Spirit of holiness which was in him, which proclaimed Son of God in all his power. The Spirit enables us to love back. But that's part of the mystery of Christ that we will come to later on in the year as we follow through our liturgy. The moment we concentrate on the child Jesus. He's given something which every human being should have. Not every human being does have. He's given love from the moment his conception of his birth. He's even loved in the womb. And there's some evidence that failures to love in the womb can actually be transmitted into the person the moment of their birth. Not everyone has the advantages we have. There are miracles, of course, miracles of grace, of love. Some terribly abandoned people have loved. I think miracle is a proper word. It's a miracle of grace, it's not in the nature of things. But Mary and Joseph's love for Jesus is not meant to be a miracle. It's meant to be natural. It's a love which is taken up by the Spirit, becomes greater than human love. But there, grace is perfection nature. Grace isn't cutting short the process, it's not short-circuiting the process. And because of that, in our times, we have to consider how often, how many children are born without that love, without that commitment. The fact that Mary and Joseph have to make commitments shows that love doesn't happen automatically. Mary and Joseph are witnesses what the love for the child should be. Different ways. But Jesus is born in the circles of these love. These loves are one love. Because love blends. The love of Mary, the love of Joseph. He is both beloved and a giver of love to his parents. A perfect circle. The joy of Christmas is that for a while we can enjoy the perfection of the beginnings and go through the terrible destruction of that beautiful perfection of the Holy Family, and then see out of that destruction, out of that rejection, comes something greater. For the moment, let's be happy considering that love, Joseph and Mary, in the perfect circle of love, which will never end.